I'd like you to turn to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus 12, where the Lord is giving instructions to Moses and Aaron concerning the great deliverance that he had purposed for Israel. The tenth and the final plague is about to fall upon the land of Egypt, but there is a way of escape. And the subject that we're going to speak on tonight is deliverance by the blood alone. And that's what we come to read about here in Exodus chapter 12. If you just look at the previous chapter, we'll take a few of the verses that give us the background and tell us about the final plague that is to visit the land of Egypt. Exodus 11 verse 1, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Yet will I bring one plague more upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards he will let you go hence. When he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out hence altogether." Verse 4, "And Moses said, Thus saith the Lord, About midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of beasts. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it any more. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue, against man or beast, that ye may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel." Chapter 12. "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbour next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire his head with his legs and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever." May the Lord be pleased to bless this reading of his own precious word. And it is the statement that is made in verse 13 in the centre part of the text that we want to leave with you. I'm not going to preach long tonight, but this text has been burning itself into my heart, and by the grace of God we were able to look at it and prepare for it this afternoon. God says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. We're going to bow together just for a moment's prayer, and as we like to do, commit our way to the Lord. Father, in these minutes in the Word of God, we pray for wisdom, understanding. We recognize that the Bible is a spiritual book, spiritually discerned. It's a closed book to us unless the Lord opens it. And so we pray that Thou will come and write that word that we've already read together upon every heart. And as we seek to proclaim the message, we pray that Thou will speak definitely, speak loudly, speak with conviction into the heart. We pray for any who know not the Lord Jesus tonight as their Savior, that this will be the night when they will come to see their need, recognizing that of ourselves we can do nothing. We can't even create that anxious thought. We turn to Thee. Thou art God. All things are possible with Thee. Thou art able to speak that word of deliverance and salvation. May it please Thee to pass our way tonight and call sinners to Christ. May this be the night of their conversion. O God, we ask it for Thy glory and for Jesus' sake. Amen. The tenth and the final plague was about to be visited upon the land of Egypt. God said, yet will I bring one more plague upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards, he will let you go hence. Great and terrible have been the divine judgments heretofore, but nothing like this final visitation of judgment. A bitter and humbling judgment that would cause an awful cry of lamentation to be heard through the whole land. We read that in verse 6 of chapter 11, that there shall be a great cry through all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it any more. This judgment would be universal as far as the land of Egypt was concerned. Every home, every family, every household would be affected, from the throne of Pharaoh to the captive, we're told, that was in the dungeon. And what was this visitation of divine judgment? It was death. The firstborn of every home would die in this particular night. But there was a way of escape provided for the faithful and the obedient Israelite. They could evade the punishment and be protected on the dark night of death. Take a lamb, God said. Every family was to take a lamb. If their homes were too small, then they were to join together with their neighbor. But every family, according to the number of their homes, was to take a lamb. And this lamb must be a perfect lamb. Not just any old lamb, but a lamb without blemish. A spotless lamb. A lamb that had been scrutinized for a period of time so that they would know that this lamb was perfect. And then they were to kill it. The blood was to be shed. But there was something more to be done than the shedding of the blood. The blood must be sprinkled. The blood must be applied, as we read there in verse 7 of chapter 12. They shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And God says in verse 12, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. But the blood applied to the homes of the Israelites would be a sign, would be a token. In our text in verse 13, we learn that the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses wherein ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. The dark, dark night of death came. The midnight of terrible destruction. The death angel visited the land of Egypt as God had said. And every firstborn in the land of Egypt, not sheltered beneath the blood of the Lamb, perished in that night. But the destroyer, that's what he was called, this angel of death, did not enter those homes that were sheltered beneath the blood. It is indeed a very remarkable story and remarkable history, as you will agree, with a wonderful significance, of course, in the gospel. Another day of divine wrath and punishment is yet to be. When Jesus comes again, we are told that he's coming in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. A terrible and an eternal judgment is awaiting those who die without the Lord. And it is universal in its application. Not just the land of Egypt this time, or some other country, or some great proportion of the earth, but the entire world, from every era of history, and from the least to the greatest. For death, the sentence of death, is passed upon all men. However, there is a way of escape. A door of mercy has been opened. A means of salvation has been provided. A fountain has been opened in the house of David for sin and for uncleanness. Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary. And yonder upon Golgotha's hill, our blessed Savior died, and he shed his precious blood. He is God's Lamb. He is our Passover Lamb, sacrificed for us. And his blood was shed. And praise God, tonight salvation is found in him, in him alone, in his death and his sacrifice alone, through the shedding of the blood alone. And the great question that we need to ask ourselves in this meeting is this: has the blood been applied to your heart and mine? Because God is looking for the mark of the blood. God, as he looks down into this congregation tonight, he sees those that are marked by the blood and those that are not, those that are still in their sins. And so, my friends, the message tonight is deliverance by blood alone. Is the blood of Jesus Christ upon you? Very quickly, I have three things that I want to say as far as this text is concerned. First of all, there is the means that God decrees. And I want you to notice in the text those two words, and they are two words here in the text, pass over. And they become one word as we think of the Passover feast. This special event in the history of Israel, was to be commemorated. We read in verse 14 that this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. And if you look on down to verse 24, the Lord says, ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass, when ye come to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, that ye shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? That ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed the head and worshipped. The feast, of course, became known as the Passover feast. Every Jew kept this special annual celebration. The Passover centered around a lamb. In fact, it was called, the lamb was called the Passover. In verse 21, you will see that just at the end, where the children of Israel are instructed to kill the Passover, referring to the lamb. And so the Passover here is used to represent the lamb. This was God's decreed means of deliverance. There was a way of salvation, a plan of escape, and God decreed that it would be by the Lamb. And Israel, the Israelites, were to take the Lamb, and they were to kill the Lamb, and they were to take the blood, as we shall see, and apply it to their homes, so that they might be saved and delivered. Another day came when God declared, take the Lamb. Only this time it wasn't the little creatures that were taken in the days of Israel there in Egypt. No, it was His Lamb, His blessed and His only Son, His Isaac whom He loved. Jesus is our Passover Lamb, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. That Lamb that was led to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers was dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Paul said, Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. We are, as Peter declared, redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. And that, my friends, is the very heart of the gospel. That Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, was sacrificed upon the cross of Calvary. And He bore the sin and He bore the guilt of mankind. And He died the just for the unjust that we might be brought to God. That is the central pillar of Christianity. Christ crucified. And this was so decreed from all eternity. Jesus Christ, we are told, was delivered by the determinate counsel and the foreknowledge or the foreordination of God. It was all planned. Before the hills in order stood or earth received its frame, God, out of infinite love for the sinner, so purposed that His dear Son would be that Lamb ordained for sacrifice to bear our sins in His own body at the tree. God took His flawless, spotless, crimeless Son and ordained Him to the death of the cross, to die as our Paschal Lamb, our Passover Lamb. This is the way, the only way of deliverance and salvation, the means that God has decreed. Dear sinner, you need to get to the cross tonight. If you have not by faith made a visit to Calvary and taken Christ as your Savior, you need to get to the cross. You need to behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Bypass the bleeding Lamb of God at the cross and you will be lost forever. A number of years ago, it must be 5 or 6 at least, we had a guest speaker along to the harvest services here in Ballymoney, and he was dealing with this subject. He was preaching about the cross. He was telling the people on that occasion that if they bypassed the cross, they would be lost in a Christless hell forevermore. And he used an illustration. The gist of it has stuck with me ever since. And he spoke about a young man who went out on a night's entertainment. He was visiting one of the great cities of England, and he was looking for a public house, a drinking den of iniquity that was called the Gates of Hell. He didn't know where it was, and so he stopped someone on the street corner. And they asked, can you tell me how I can get to the gates of hell? And the person that he made the inquiry from, he said, if you just continue on down this street, you will come to a church that is called Calvary. You just bypass Calvary and you will eventually come to the gates of hell. Isn't that illustration so apt? But what I'm talking about tonight, you bypass Calvary where the bleeding Lamb of God shed His precious blood, and my friends, you'll come to the gates of hell. Here is the means that God has decreed for our salvation. It is the Passover. It is the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Secondly, I want you to see the mark that God desires. Because God says here, when I see the blood. When I see the blood. The death angel sent by God in the dark midnight of Egypt's doom was looking for something. And as he came into the country of Egypt, and he began to move throughout that land and swept over the face of that part of the earth, he was looking for something upon the doors that would mean that he would not visit those homes and death would not enter in. What was he looking for? He was looking for the blood of the Lamb. When I see the blood. And God is still looking for something tonight. As he gazes upon our hearts and our lives, the all-piercing, scrutinizing eye of God penetrates us through and through. And he's looking for the mark of the blood. Has the blood been applied to your heart? God is not looking for your earnest prayers as he looks down into this meeting tonight. And if you're a Christian, you ought to be a Christian that prays earnestly. And the Bible says that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And I trust that God will continue to lay into our hearts the burden that seems to be with us today, this great burden for prayer. And that's not what he's looking for. And he's not looking for your diligent Bible meditations either. And again, if you're saved, you ought to be a man or a woman of this book. And you ought to be found in it every day, gleaning from the pages of Scripture and feeding your soul and learning what God requires from you. But God's not looking for your Bible meditations. Nor is he looking for your faithful church attendance. We're living in an era where church attendance has declined. And as we come nearer the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, we will discover that that will be more so. And the love of many is going to wax cold. And there will be the forsaking of many from the house of God. But we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. We are to be here in the house of God. We are to be faithful in our worship to him. But that's not what he's looking for. And he's not looking for your name in the roll of church membership. And he's not looking for the waters of baptism. And he's not looking for your Christian charity and your love. And these things have their place. No, my friends, as God looks down, there's something that he's looking for. What is it? It is the blood. It is the mark of the blood. Has the blood been applied? That's the great question in this meeting. The Israelites could have said, when they heard of the last and final plague coming, well, we'll pray. We'll pray. We'll get together in our homes and we will seek God earnestly in all of our families. And we will pray that the death angel will not enter in. But God was not looking for their earnest prayers on this occasion. Well, the Israelites might have said, well, we will offer to God our good works. And between now and the time of this visitation, we will live as best as we can, and perhaps we will be accepted on the grounds of our good works, but that was not the case either. Or they might have said, well, we will worship God, and we will go to the place of worship. The tabernacle did not exist as yet, and nor, of course, had the temple been built. That wasn't until Solomon's time. But there was a place of worship, no doubt, whether there were many places throughout the camp and altars built where God was recognized and God was worshipped, I'm not sure. But they could have said, we'll go and we'll worship God and we'll spend all these hours before God and worship. But that's not what he was looking for. None of these things could suffice for their salvation and deliverance, because there's no substitute for the blood of the Lamb. God says, when I see the blood. The blood had to be applied to the doorposts and to the lintel of their homes. Not upon the threshold, not upon the ground. Woe unto the man that tramples underfoot the blood. But upon the sides and the upper post of their homes. And they were through the blood to the place of safety. When I see the blood. Why did the destroyer pass by the blood-sprinkled doors of the Israelites? I'll tell you why. Because death had been there before. And where the death had been and the blood had been shed, the destroyer could not enter. Christ died for our sins. The blood of Jesus has been shed for the remission of our sins. But it needs to be appropriated. It needs to be applied by faith to the sinner's heart, and all the merit of the blood needs to be applied. This is the language of the Bible. The Word of God speaks about the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus. The anthem of heaven's praise is unto him that loved us and washed us in the blood. We're told about the great throng around the celestial throne and how that they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And so again, let me ask you the question, has the blood been applied? Have you got the mark of the crimson blood upon you tonight? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? When God looks at man, sheltered beneath the blood, he looks at him through the blood, and praise God, he is accepted. Not because of who he is, not because of what he has done, but due to the merits of the Lamb who shed the blood. If God looked at us apart from the blood, who could stand? Not one of us. Not one who had the least stain upon him. One sin would cry out for the judgment of God. And so God looks at us through the blood of atonement. Those of us that are saved in this meeting tonight, looks at us through the blood. And beholding the blood, God is satisfied. His justice is met. You need the blood applied. There's a lovely verse of a hymn, and it says, "Behold him, all ye that pass by, the bleeding prince of life and peace. Come, sinners, see your Maker die, and say, was ever grief like his? Come, feel with me his blood applied. My Lord, my love is crucified." And I can do nothing better in my preaching than to bring you to the blood of the Lamb. I can do no better than present you the cross upon which Jesus Christ, God's Son, died, and lead you to Calvary. Oh, I must preach against sin. Sin is the very thing that is going to damn your soul for all of God's eternity, and we need to deal with the subject of sin. And I need to warn you about hell, that there is a place that burns forevermore. If you reject Christ as your Savior and you die in your sins, that is your destiny for all of God's eternity. And I must solemnly present the judgment to come, that awful day when men will stand before the very presence of the Lord Jesus Christ at the great white throne. And I need to urge you to flee from the wrath of God to come. But my friends, you must know about the remedy. You must know the way to God, how you can escape the wrath to come. And it is the blood. When I see the blood, has the blood been applied? And then thirdly, in this text we have the mercy that God declares. Isn't this a lovely phrase? I will pass over you. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Those who were sheltered beneath the blood were perfectly safe. The unmarked houses were doomed to destruction. The visitor of death and destruction came in the darkness of midnight to the land of Egypt. He swept through the country, bringing death to every Egyptian home. But the Israelitish houses marked by the blood were perfectly safe. We can hardly imagine such a night in the history of this world when that happened. But it did. And what awful cries of lamentation came into those homes that were unprotected, who didn't have the mark of the blood of the Lamb. And on the great day of judgment, that day when men will be summoned to appear before the very majesty of God, and the Lord Jesus will sit upon the throne of his glory in dazzling splendor, and the great division is made, there's only one thing that will matter on that day, and that is the blood mark. And God says, and God will say, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. The word Passover means to spare. I will spare you.
It also has the significance of meaning, I will stand guard you. God will stand guard his people who are sheltered beneath the blood, and his judgment cannot touch us. Isn't that a wonderful thing tonight? Are you marked by the blood of Jesus? Has the blood been applied to your soul and to your heart and your sins taken away? If not, wash and be clean tonight. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. God is looking for the blood. As he looks down into this meeting tonight, does he see the blood applied to your heart? And if not, my friend, you need to get to Christ. You need to get to the cross. You need to know something of this appropriation, this application of the blood and the merits of the cross to your soul and to your heart and life. May you come and trust Christ and be sheltered in the great day of wrath. Let's bow together before the Lord. Our Father, we thank thee for the cleansing of the blood. We thank thee for the power that is invested in the blood of the Lamb, the blood that cleanses from all sin, the blood that brings pardon and peace with God. We thank thee, O God, for this wonderful account in history that speaks so vividly about Christ our Passover and the great work that he did at Calvary. And, O God, we know that as the judgment came to the land of Egypt, so the judgment that has been declared in thy word upon a lost and a ruined world will come again, will come to this earth. And the Lord Jesus is coming in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. Father, there are people in this meeting tonight who know not God. Those who have not obeyed the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. As they've listened to this word tonight, brought in weakness, we pray nonetheless that the truth will grip their soul and that they will see their need of God's salvation. For them to be saved from the great day of judgment, for them to pass through that time, they need to be sheltered beneath the blood of God's Lamb. May they behold the Lamb of God tonight, looking away from themselves, looking away from their sin, looking away from anything else that is found in this life. May they fix their eye upon Christ and him crucified, and may they see in him that which satisfied the justice and the law of God. And may they fly to the healing wounds of the cross and get underneath the sheltering blood and be saved, and saved for eternity. O God, speak, we pray. Don't let anyone leave this meeting without thee. But may this be the night when they will enclose with God's offer of mercy and find grace in thy sight, for Jesus' sake. Amen.